Greg Brotherton.
Hello, Phil.
What a delight to see you. I should say that we're talking to a candidate for county commissioner. We are also talking to a past regular guest on Toss Salad.
Yes.
The South County Report is now in the hands of Bob Rosen.
He's doing a great job.
He is. He is, and he's enthusiastic, too. He doesn't have so many
like
other
things. Like we all were, right?
Well, you got kind of busy, is what I noticed. Anyway.
Yes, no, it's true.
And that was before you decided to run for county commissioner.
I know. I just keep piling it on.
And yeah, really. This is something you brought to your...
It is.
I guess the first question that I've asked... I don't know if you listened to the interviews with John Cook and Ryan McAllister.
I did.
But if you did, you're going to hear some of the same questions.
Okay.
Because it seems like that's what I should do. The first question I asked both of them and Will, Greg Durgan, in half an hour is, when did you decide to run for county commissioner, and who drafted you? Who recruited you? Whose idea was this?
You know, I... Honestly, who first talked about it is a little bit lost in the to the annals of time. But I had a conversation with Kathleen Clare last summer about it, and sort of just said, you know, asked her what her intentions were. She was thinking she was going to run again, and she wasn't sure at that point. And I was contemplating it, and then cooler minds prevailed, and then she approached me. Last fall, wasn't going to be able to run again, and just wanted to chat about it again. And we had a couple conversations. And honestly, it was when we took a family vacation in Bali in February. And when we were there, and I was looking at this beautiful place that was so like Jefferson County, and that it's a real tourist destination based on its fabulous environment. And just the lack of growth management there and the sprawl that was happening everywhere was the sort of the final straw that said, you know, there's something I can do to help Jefferson County. And when I came back, I was all business from then, pretty much, jumped in full force.
And that is your primary concern, is overdevelopment and sprawl?
Well, that's not my primary concern. I think we do actually a really good job about that. I'm a pretty big fan of the comprehensive plan and the neighborhood crossroads and the different growth areas that we have designated. But I came to appreciate it, the Growth Management Act, in a whole new way in Bali. But no, I'm really running to make it easier for people to build houses and small businesses in rural Jefferson County. I think that the balance needs to be adjusted a little bit.
And that's where you come from.
Yeah.
Quilcene, in fact,
yes. And I've built a house. You know, I failed to build our first house. We had ripped down a barn and had these great old hand-hewn timbers that we wanted to build a timber frame house. And we just couldn't get it permitted. Had engineered drawings, and it wasn't going to fly. So we went on to the second house and did manage to get that one built.
So how does that experience with your first house, how does that inform your decision to run and your attitude towards the Department of Community Development?
Well, I have a great relationship with
the
folks down at DCD. They said no to me. There wasn't a lot of expertise in timber frame building, I don't think. And I would have done it differently, but, you know, these things happen. You know, my timbers weren't big enough. I could have bought different wood, but it didn't flesh with the nuts and bolts of the code. I think the DCD is got a great leader. In Patty Charnas and Stuart Whitford is doing a great job as well. I think that we can change some of the actual code to make it easier. And that's where I would work, through the Board of Health. That's a big motivator.
The Board of Health?
Yes.
And why is that?
The Board of Health, you know, is composed of a representative from Jefferson Healthcare and the city and all three commissioners and DCD and community. John Austin is the chair of it right now. And that's really where they make recommendations and directives to the DCD and public health to change the code.
So there was an effort not fairly recently, within the last year, to attempt to legalize, if not outhouses, at least composting toilets.
I was I attended a bunch of those meetings and I advocated at them actually, and it's really important and I'm a big supporter. They were trying to accept the Washington State recommendations from a 2012 report that Washington State compiled, encouraging counties to allow composting toilets, vault toilets, and even pit toilets, outhouses, with gray water subsurface irrigation. And they had public domain plans that people could build themselves and know that these are workable plans. And the county has made good progress on it, and the Board of Health has made a recommendation to accept those. And I advocated even to accept pit toilets. That was the one caveat they didn't accept, was they said, sure, we'll permit composting toilets and vault toilets, but not pit toilets.
And a pit toilet is a hole in the ground.
A pit toilet is a hole in the ground.
With a seat over the top.
And sometimes even a cover.
I see. Very well. You're running as a Democrat.
Yes.
Jefferson County Democrats are split in half. There are the True Blues. I think that's what people are calling them.
I think that's
common. And the Progressives.
Yep.
Which are you?
Wow. Well, you know, I think all the Democrats in Jefferson County that I've talked to are pretty progressive. So the titles, I mean, there's definitely two camps. And I guess the True Blues have really supported me in my campaign. And I think the Progressives have a candidate they're very actively pushing for.
Ryan
McAllister,
yeah.
So I'm running as a Democrat. I've been a Democrat my whole life and had, you know, I remember the Reagan 80s when I grew up and being in debate and competitive speech and being able to have these policy conversations, you know, with common goals and great dialogue and coming out of them. And I long for those days. And I will admit that the current divide in the Democrats is, and just the way that we talk about politics and our governance in general, was one of the big things that gave me pause before putting my hat in the ring.
Are you active in the party? What have you done to try to bring the two halves, if they are halves, together?
Right. You know, I'm not a card-carrying Democrat. I mean, I am now, but I registered soon before I, with the Jefferson County Democrats, soon before I registered for the election. And I'm more about local politics. I've been busy running businesses and being on the school board. I wish it was a nonpartisan race, because most of the issues that I talk to about, Republicans and Democrats agree that it's the, it seems there's obstructions to building, and I agree with that. That's what I want to work on, while preserving all the great services that we are barely holding on to. And, you know, people talk about what the changes they want to make, and there are changes that I want to make, but 95% of the job is just processing all the existing information that's going to come at you. I mean, I remember starting on the school board and how it was just overwhelming. You had 100 pages of reading about stuff that you didn't know about that you had to process and then make policy decisions on really quickly. And, you know, that's, like it or not, that's what a lot of this job is as well, that and building relationships.
I believe I heard you say that as far as you're concerned, it could be a nonpartisan position.
Oh, yeah, I think so.
Could you run as a Republican then?
No, I mean, I believe in, you know, progressive values. I just believe that prevention is cheaper than the cure, that we should help all citizens, that it's going to be more expensive to let, you know, the jail deal with mental health issues than treat people earlier. It's more expensive to deal with discipline issues in high school and less effective than dealing with people in preschool. The earlier that you can get in and help someone be a positive member of society, the stronger their contribution will be.
Your personal background, where do you come from? What have you done for work?
Sure. I grew up in Kent, Washington, where my dad was on the city council when I was in high school.
And your dad now running for PUD commissioner,
indeed.
We see signs that say Greg, or they say Tom, and then
right.
In smaller print, Brotherton.
right, yeah.
This is unusual, I think.
I think it is unusual, and there's been a little bit of pushback on that, and we're not trying to take over the county or anything. We're just both very service-minded and have the time and the capacity to help, so we're trying to help the county.
You come from Kent along with your dad.
Came with Kent, grew up in Kent, and went to Kent Ridge, and I was just talking to Aislinn at Bayside, and there's a couple of Chargers out here.
She too?
She grew up in Kent and went to the same high school,
uh-huh.
Yeah. Went to college at Evergreen. And then after college, waited for my wife, Stacy, who I met before college. And then we went to South Korea together to teach English as a foreign language. And we did that at a private school for 1 year and then at a public middle school for another year. So spent 2 years living in Korea and traveling around Asia and Southeast Asia and Europe a lot. And then came back and got a real job in IT at U.S. Bank in Seattle and settled down in Seattle.
Wore a suit and a tie.
Oh, no. I was in the IT department.
I see.
I was, you know, it was as a big buyout was going on and they were transferring systems over. So they had a bunch of temporary help. And I was hired as the liaison between the IT workers who weren't really allowed to speak to the bankers and the bankers. And then I was just the last one let go. And they held on to me after the merger as I learned enough IT to start helping with the servers and the workstations.
And then mom and dad started migrating to Quilcene.
Well, originally they said, hey, will you help us find a vacation house? We want a place in the country. And we all decided Quilcene was just perfect and found this place on East Quill that they loved. And then within a month of buying it, they said, you know what, we're not going back. We're just going to stay. And so dad commuted for a couple years, and then they retired out here. And we'd been, well, retired, started working for the prosecutor's office. And then we had my daughter, Sage, who's with us today, and you know, wanted to get out of the city. My wife had wanted to be a farmer for a long time, and we just wanted a little more elbow room to raise our child. So we started looking for opportunities, and the opportunity came to reopen the Quilcene Village store.
I was going to say, you've opened several businesses.
Yes.
And though I don't think I see you on Facebook much at all, I see Stacy. And a bit of a goat and a bit of a duck and maybe a bit of a chicken and
yep.
so on. She actually has, in a small sense, realized her dream.
Oh, yeah. No, in quite a sense. We got 2 one-day-old pigs yesterday, too. So none of us got very much sleep as we were bottle feeding pigs through the night with the goat milk. But we've got it. We've got goats and chickens and ducks and bees and a big garden.
And how much acreage?
27 acres on Lake Leela.
That's enough for those critters. E-I-E-I-O critters. Yeah,
absolutely.
Right?
It's growing and growing. We just got another livestock guardian dog. So the farm is growing. And we're selling a lot of the produce and the value-added products at the grocery store in Discovery Bay as well now,
too. So you and the family started, or I would say brought back to life, the Village Market.
Yeah, so the Village store in Quilcene had closed after my parents moved out there. And, you know, all the community got together. That's kind of the birth of the Count Me In for Quilcene group, was saying, hey, this is kind of the death knell for the town. And if we're going to reopen it as a community store, what would it look like? What's important? And, you know, local produce, local products was important. Gas was important. And so we came out and opened it a little different than your average gas station. You know, talked a lot to Rob up at the Chimicum Quarter Market.
I was going to say, for folks who haven't been there, it is very much like the corner store.
Oh, yeah. They were a great inspiration. Mm-hmm. And just wanting to feature local and organic foods as much as possible. And then we bought the liquor store license from the liquor store that had been across from the school for years and brought that over. And ethanol-free gas, you know, just sort of made it, tried to have products there that we were proud to sell. And after a couple years of great service, my parents had raised the investment capital for that project, and I was the manager. And then a friend, Casey Gribble, came and was talking about opening a grocery at a property he bought up in Discovery Bay. And I said, that sounds great, and I'll talk to you and try to help you with that. Can I put in a license for the recreational marijuana lottery as well? He was like, sure. So I put in the license for Sea Change and, you know, won the lottery. And then it didn't quite come together as a grocery store for Casey, but we were able to extend the Village store and create a second Village store with that ownership structure up at Discovery Bay as well.
So there is a store at the end of Discovery Bay. There's
yes.
two, in fact.
There's three, there's one, in fact.
Oh, yes, the camping goods.
Well, that's the fourth. There's, so we have three. We opened the Disco Bay Detour as
yes,
well, which
uh-huh.
is an all-ages theater that serves beer and wine and espresso,
mm-hmm.
as well as the grocery store, which Stacy, my wife,
Two.
Runs now.
Oh, really?
And then Sea Change Cannabis.
Three.
And
okay.
and then we have a renter now in Tyler Meeks in the Disco Bay Outdoor Exchange, which is doing great, selling, you know, secondhand outdoor equipment, you know, snowboards and skis in the winter, surfboards and bikes in the summer, and it's going great.
So as we know, Washington State, marijuana is legal under a whole host of restrictions, of course, but
yes.
still legal. Nevertheless, there will, for many, many, many years to come, be a stigma. And I wonder what that will cost you in terms of your credibility as a candidate and votes.
Right. You know, it could cost me some votes. I've actively destigmatized it since I began. You know, there's a video out there of me consuming it and talking about how the local-only structure is good for local economies. And, you know, I'm happy to talk about it with anyone. We sell alcohol and tobacco and caffeine and coffee and all sorts of drugs. And this one, I'm glad that it's regulated. A lot of people use it medicinally to great effect. A lot of people use it recreationally to good effect, and I would say generally safer effect. But, you know, we do everything we can to keep it safe, follow the regulations, and keep it in, you know, adult hands.
Have you been challenged about this at a forum yet?
There have been some online challenges, but no one has challenged me about it at a forum. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of doorbelling, walking around to, you know, Republicans and Democrats and independents. And I think the stigma is going away pretty quickly. I mean, there was a campaign against it for many, many years that was, you know, based on some people's profit, you know. I mean, we can go back to Hearst and the newspapers and what newsprint was printed on to really find some of the roots of reefer madness. But, you know, it is a drug. It can be abused and it can be used. And I'm not campaigning on it, but I'm not afraid of it. You know, we've tried to be a responsible company. And when I was working on the school board and working on a playground committee and we were short of money, the Sea Change Cannabis was at the place that we could donate a substantial amount of money to make that playground a reality. And no one had any objections.
Still real money, and it's green in a different way, perhaps.
Absolutely.
It was last month indeed, after a decade of discussion, the Board of County Commissioners essentially gave the green light to the Black Point Resort or mm-hmm. Pleasant Harbor Golf and Country Club.
Sure.
How do you feel about that? Had you been on the Board of County Commissioners, what would your decision have been?
I think the narrative gets twisted on this a lot. I have come out in favor of the decision they made. I would have made the same decision. You know, I've toured the site where they want to build it. I've also toured the marina where the same group has already done a pretty top to bottom revamping and rebuilding of the resort at Pleasant Harbor. And it's much better. You know, before when the fuel lines were taped together underneath the docks, now they've got new lines and new docks and the building has been rebuilt exactly to spec. I mean, I think the narrative should not be, should we build it or should we not build it? Is it too big or not? We've made that decision 10 years ago. The question is, has the developer met the conditions? Are we protecting the environment? Are we protecting, you know, tribal sovereignty? And that doesn't stop now, right? That just the building begins after the appeal, the LUPA appeal that's going on.
The scale of development, 890 residential units, doesn't trouble you? It's going to change Brendan mightily if it really happens.
In a long time. I mean, Tim, the fire chief down there, begged me to support it. There's a bunch of people, I would say, that split down there on whether it's good or bad. I mean, my Discovery Bay resort is right next to a World Mark that's 310 units at 90% capacity, 90 to 99% capacity all year round. And I would say there's no traffic impact, but there is some impact on my store. It enables my store to be a year-round store rather than a seasonal store.
So you really actually do sense the existence of that development down there?
Oh, yeah. We really fight for it. We drop off flyers there. I mean, it's a boon for our economy. I mean, it's part of the community. Just
that,
like,
is one then major distinction between you and Ryan McAllister.
That is a major distinction.
Yeah. Total opposite positions, in fact. That's my impression. I had him on last week. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I think we have. Yeah. And that's, I mean, is it, would I build a golf course? No. Would I build an 890 unit development? No. But we are a cash-strapped county. And as long as we can protect the environment, then I think we need to allow this development to happen.
Okay. We'll leave that and we'll talk about Joe D'Amico.
Okay.
He has proposed the Cedar Hill recreational facility. Some people call it a shooting range. Some people call it various other things. It's not, I don't believe any permits have yet been applied for with respect to it. So you freely can comment on it. What's your free comment on it?
Oh, gosh, I'm not sure if there's any free comments about this subject. But, you know, I'm sensitive to the desire to make another shooting range, to his rights to do that. I think the course that the county has taken, the moratorium, the same with the, you know, marijuana processing and producer processing in rural residential. I think there's a fear about impact on neighbors, and so they're doing the absolute right thing. It seems like a lot of impact to me. I'm probably 4 miles away as the crow flies. It's not going to impact my property personally, but...
And don't be so sure.
Well, yeah, I know there's explosions and everything. You know, I really favor something like the Kitsap County Ordinance, which has real teeth and has been defended successfully all the way up to the state Supreme Court. And it outlines some clear measurable boundaries, like 85 decibels at the border of the facility, no shooting ranges within 500 feet of a watershed, you know, explosions scheduled on on particular days, you know, and only a few a month. And that's the kind of threshold, I think, that will make it possible to, you know, not destroy the property value and the peace of the neighbors around while still preserving his right to build a shooting range.
Well, he could perhaps build an indoor shooting range with stipulations like those, what, 85 dB?
Yep.
At the property line? There's no way in the world that an outdoor shooting range could meet that standard.
Depends how big it is.
How big the property is?
Right.
Would have to be enormous. I live out in the country, too, and I can hear people shooting 2 miles away.
I'm curious what the decibel, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the one that came up with that number. I just, that's the number that Kitsap County used, and was defended against attacks.
Have you spoken to Joe D'Amico about this?
I have not spoken to Joe D'Amico about this.
And do you have his support, or do you know whether you do or not?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, I hope to get his support. Is he a District 3 resident?
I don't know about that, but he eventually would be involved because he does live in Jefferson County. What district he lives in, I can't tell you.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I hope to get his support, but I'm not, you know, I'm not a huge fan of assault rifles.
You want to put that differently?
It's not a Second Amendment issue. I've picked up my daughter at someone's house, and she was playing with an older brother's assault rifle, and it didn't make me feel good.
I bet it didn't. What can a county commissioner do to encourage the siting and development of a big box retail or singular or plural big box retail in the county? And do you favor that?
I don't think any big box retail is going to, I don't think they're building new stores at this point. I think they're dinosaurs that are going away. I think also with this recent Supreme Court ruling about destination-based sales tax, and with Washington being a destination-based sales tax state, I would say buy local anything that you can, and if you can't, shop online and get it delivered to your house, and we're going to get the sales tax revenue from that. If someone wants to open a retail store of any sort that's within the ordinances, I would support it.
Would you want to increase the size, allowable size for retail? It's not very large at this point.
Most, in the city only. It's only in Port Townsend, right?
No, and the county as well. The development code sets a ceiling on square footage.
10,000 square feet.
I forget. But yeah. I remember when we were developing it, when I was on the Planning Commission, it was argued that it was way too small.
You know, that's not a huge issue to me. I think that the development that we're going to get is decentralized and more dependent on internet capacity, broadband capacity, and septic capacity, and water than zoning size. I'm pretty happy with how the county is zoned right now.
Promoting economic growth.
Yes.
It's nowadays what people used to mean when they said a chicken in every pot and a Model T in every garage. Means something pretty much the same as those now metaphors meant.
Yep.
What can a county commissioner do really to promote economic development, and is that not the work of private enterprise?
It's a lot of things are going to have to be a partnership between public and private. You know, the housing shortage is not going to go away just with public money. It's going to need to be a collaboration, and I think that. Adjusting our permit process is a big way that I want to make a difference. You know, as the composting toilets that we've talked about before, allowing multiple tiny houses on a rural residential land. I mean, we see, you know, tiny house villages going up in Seattle as a real tool in the battle against homelessness and lack of affordable housing. I think we need to encourage that too. I know a lot of people who have intentional communities out in the country that are off-grid, and I want to bring those people into the process and engage it. I think the Black Point Resort is an example of something that it might not be the perfect sized development, but it's been through a rigorous public input, staff and commissioners and you know, Department of Ecology process, that's about as good as it gets. We're going to get a sewer project in it. I mean, the sewers everywhere are pretty critical, and this is one that can actually get built. So
in Quilcene.
Well, I was talking about Black Point right now.
Oh, Black Point, yeah.
I mean, the Brennan sewer at the state park is something that's real possible, too, connecting that to the Brennan.
But how about the tri-area? That's the sewer that people talk about the most.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's getting cheaper. There's
How so?
I think there's new technologies that allow for bringing down that, you know, we're still $31 million short or something like that. And I think that's that new technologies can make that less, and doing it smaller and just in the business core with this LID that's being formed, I think that's a great option to pursue. I think.
And how would that assist the building of affordable housing?
Well, you could do, I mean, we don't have any place that's taking vouchers. And at a forum down at the Beach Club in Port Ludlow this week, the head of the Peninsula Housing Authority was talking about affordable housing and how many, I forget what she said, but like 115 units that they're building in Clallam County in Port Angeles. And that was all kicked off by Clallam County kicking in some money, putting in that first bit of money to initiate it. And we don't have any place outside of Port Townsend where we can build multifamily housing. And that's just, I mean, we're talking about people housing for people that need vouchers, you know, not someone that's not a teacher or a county employee who can't find a house, but we're talking about people that are using Section 8 vouchers to getting housing, and there's no place to go with them right now. People
so when you talk about a sewer for the Tri area, for the business core, mm-hmm. you're actually talking about a larger area that would enable not just affordable housing, but multifamily housing.
Yes.
Yes, okay.
I mean, it needs to get
otherwise,
to that pretty quick.
It's just for the businesses.
Right.
Not a bad thing in a way, but still would not do anything for what is a very severe housing shortage here.
Yes, but you know, once you start getting, you know, any, you've just got to start making progress. That's the thing, and you know, getting the sewers just to the businesses would be a fine first step.
Greg Brotherton, I almost said. By the way, Greg Brotherton, we have. Well, I know one of these young ladies who has come with you, but I don't know the other.
Yes, I'll introduce you. This is my daughter, Sage Brotherton, and her friend, Leah. They were at archery camp at the Sportsman's Club today, actually, and I have been running around with them for this early afternoon. You guys want to say hi?
Hi, y'all.
Hello to you, too. Thank you for coming, and thank you for coming, Greg.
Oh, thank you very much. Are we out of time already?
Oh. We are out of time. Next up is Craig Durgan.
The time always goes so fast with you.
Well, we have been through this before.
We have.
When you were the South County person.
Always goes too fast.
You know that another South County person preceding you was Kathleen Clare.
Oh, right. Yes, indeed. Oh, I hope that's
You hope there's magic there, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Well, good luck to you.
Thanks for your time, Phil.
Bye.
Have a great day.
Goodbye, ladies.
Bye.
Bye, the ladies say.